for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, May the 30th, 2010. Jim Landry is the speaker of the service, teaching on anger.
This morning we have share. We talk a little bit about anger, and I want to take us back a little bit to when I was in the young people's age bracket. I was a musician, played in the marching band, even played in the Navy's band. I was a drum major. And one of the things that the children don't like is to have their parades rained out. I'm telling you, the air got blue on that bus when we got rained out. Okay, we missed our meals. We didn't get to wear our beautiful uniforms. And some of us just didn't know how to handle our anger. I remember, I'm not much for a lot of those type of expressions. I'd like to just get right into the word like Ken does. But I can remember for us deliverance ministers, a particular young man that came in for deliverance. He weighed over 300 pounds. And when he was brought to some of my senior overseers at that time, now I oversee their ministry and they're in retirement. When I say retirement, I mean they're way up there in age. But and the wife is taking care of her husband, ministering to his health. Anyway, Otis was praying. He had just got through destroying a car outside. Something got his temper up so bad, he got on top of a car, and he just jumped on it. I mean, he bent the car all up, all over the hood and everything. That 300 pounds is a lot of damage to a car. And so anyway, he's sitting in the chair, and Otis is taking authority over the strong man, something I learned a long time ago from them. And she said, "My weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds. I'm not going to fight you in the flesh. So you evil principalities manifest," and I forgot the gentleman's name, "I remind you, I'm not going to fight you in the flesh." Now, it's easy for us to grab a bunch of soldiers and we all hold them down. It doesn't work when it's against the will. So anyway, this individual sitting down there, meek as a lamb. And this little short lady was casting the demons out. And all of a sudden, he started getting a little stronger. You can tell when things change, right? Yeah. You can tell when the fire go from 211 to 212 boiling. And boy, he started rising up like he's going to do some damage in that place. And I have seen quite a bit of damage in my day. I've seen people get bit and spit on and thrown down. One of them took out running down the street. They had to bring him back, walking him like a cat because they turned into a cat. So we had to walk him like a cat, get him back into the house of prayer to get their will to agree they wanted prayer. Because sometimes we'd like to brain people, don't tell them why they're here. And so Artie, she looked around. She said, "You." She knows a foot next to his foot on the chair. "Move your foot out the way." And as soon as that guy moved his foot out the way, he relaxed again. So that was a good lesson for us youthful deliverance workers, that sometimes what we're trying to get out of somebody else is still in us. And the enemy will use that to keep it in them. So if you're not so absolutely sure, whatever the issue is that you're dealing with in your life, and as a pastor, if you'll be around our congregation, they'll tell you, those that remember over the years, particularly 5, 10, 15 years ago, when that's an area where God was working with me in repentance, and I didn't feel competent to work in it, I didn't have to broadcast it. I just simply reached over there into that artillery zone and grabbed four or five of the other elders. I said, "Y'all pray." I didn't say I was dealing with it. I usually testify after I done won. I don't cry and pity myself while I'm going through. Now, if I ain't winning, I'm going to throw at the mercy of the feet of the elders and say, "Help me." And that has happened before, too, once. Well, I totally surrendered the pastoralship, sat down. My wife looked at me, the rest of the elders, I say, "I'm not in ministry no more. I got to get delivered. I got anger. I feel real depressed." Now, most of the men would just take a couple of pills, have a shot of bourbon, and get up there on Sunday morning and say, "Jesus!" I'm going to try not to say too much for the young people. Duh! Because my granddaughters, they start laughing when I say that. So I'm trying to cut it back so they don't take that to school or nothing. In Proverbs, the 16th chapter, verse 32, the scripture says, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." We need to be slow to anger. And we need to have some discipline in our lives. Each of us are born with anger. It is a fruit of the old man, of the old nature. And although our old nature has been crucified, sometimes you and I as Christians, we allow anger to control us. Now, there's something here in this message this morning for everybody. Because young people, trust me, some of them old people, they can go off the handle too, blow the coop. And so we know that you may have to deal with this also. And there's hope in Jesus. And hopefully, before this message is concluded, all of you, including the young people, will find a way of escape. For the Lord is your way of escape. He has promised you that. For some Christians, though, anger might last for a few seconds. Others have managed it to the point where it can last only a few hours. Then there's always some that always let it go for days, depending on how long they allow it to continue, for the anger to linger around, foster. And in most cases, in most situations, anger lingers around in them because of selfishness. They rained on my parade. I was right. I'm going to get my way. It's all me, myself, and I. Saul! It can go 9 different ways. You don't get your way. You attack a person, or you were a victim, and you decided to retaliate eye for an eye. You hit, I hit back. You talk bad, I talk bad. You made me mad, I make you mad. Eye for eye instead of forgiving them quickly. It's a choice. You say it's not a choice. Well, I'll prove it in a moment. In Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 29, I'm going to read back and forth from Amplified to King James, and sometime I'll tell you what it is. Now, this ain't Bible college, nothing, but I might just do that for some of the young people. A lot of time will have American Standard or Amplified Bibles. Hopefully they've all got delivered from NIVs, but I remember when I was in school. I was one of the senior students in school. I continue in school. I have a PhD. I'm working on my PhD. It don't mean nothing. I just keep going to school. I love school. And it's a discipline for everybody around me that our pastor say, well, pastor don't even need to do it, but he keep going. He show up at the class like everybody else. Okay, all right. And our overseers and our Bible colleges are deliverance colleges. They are part of a conference, part of priest deliverance, everything. So it's a discipline for me. Everybody needs their discipline. That's my discipline. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 29, and I'll share more about that during the July camp for the youth. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. But only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, in words, God's favor, to those that hear it. Now, I understand somewhat how people in the world, the heathen, the non-believers, can get angry and scream and curse and fight. But some Christians also can cause the air to turn blue. That's an old coined impression that we had when we was in the Navy, and they called it curse like a sailor. And then I've heard Christians just use Acadia Wood out of context so often. Well, there's another word for Acadia Wood, y'all know. Sheaton, S-H-I-T-T-I-N. That's Acadia Wood. Okay, I've heard them just use that. I say, well, that's not cursing. Duh. Oh, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. I mean, they just think that's okay. It's not a curse word. They don't know it's Acadia Wood, though. Oh, okay. Never mind. When a believer allows anger to have dominion within them, and then they begin to attack people, there's no way you're going to attack people and retaliate without corrupt communications proceeding out of your mouth. You may not think they're corrupt, but they're corrupt. How many of you have lost it? Don't raise your hands. I don't want to see. because I don't want any judgments in my heart. I will be the first to admit I've lost it. But over the years, it's gotten a little bit more manageable as I've taken on more of Christ. Okay. In Proverbs 25:28, sort of a parallel to the scriptures I read to you in 16:32, the Bible says in Proverbs 25:28, he that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. And I believe this is possibly the reason for a lot of autoimmune diseases, because of anger and fear and tension and stress and anxiety. These spirits come to destroy your health, destroy your faith. And a person that are having a problem as the city of God, we are the city of the Most High God, Psalms 48, 1 through 3, in the city of our King. We're seeing a number of people that have unresolved bitterness, anger, in relationships prior to marriage, perhaps. Or one incident was a child was brought to me that had urticaria, a lot of skin hives, I mean, lots of breakout in the flesh. And this is that child's wall. And I didn't know the child. I was in Jasper called. I don't know if you was there one night, because you know we were there all the time back in the old days. And the pastor and the lady brought the child up. I looked at the child. We prayed. And the Lord said that while this child was in the womb, the mother was unrested about the relationship of the potential father, that he was not going to be there. This angered her, and she became bitter. And the child was the wall, the weaker vessel that the demons attacked. And while I was saying it, the pastor said, That's exactly it. I said, really? I said, well, okay, well, let's just pray. Let's pray and break the curse of the child. And so we need to pay particular attention to these scriptures here today, because we're born with anger. It is a fruit of the old nature. It is an enemy of God, but it is manageable. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 22, I'm going to read this from the King James Version. Matthew 5:22. Here Jesus says, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, a lot of this don't mean anything, but truly, I'm going to get you on this one, because, you know, some of us older fellows and older ladies in the Lord, we came through the 90s era, and some of these terms were very common on our sitcoms, television programs. Now they're very common in the music. The Amplified Version speaks, but I say unto you that everyone who continues to be angry with his brother or harbors malice, enmity of heart against him shall be liable to and unable to escape the punishment imposed by the court. And whosoever speaks contemptuously and insultingly to his brother shall be liable to and unable to escape the punishment imposed by the Sanhedrin. And whosoever says, you cursed fool, you empty-headed idiot, shall be liable to and unable to escape the hell of fire. Whoa. Well, people, I have heard far too many believers, far too many Christians call people fools because they didn't receive what they gave them in the message of God. Oh, that old fool so-and-so, so-and-so. I corrected a young man, he's older than me, come by and visit every once in a while. And he's a good little craftsman. He can work on buildings. So I was at his house one day, and he called me from outside. He said, I'll be out in a minute, Pastor. And I heard him saying, idiot, idiot, idiot. I said, man, he come and shut my truck. I said, hey, wait a minute, before I go anywhere, who are you calling an idiot in your house? Oh, Pastor Lynn, that's my dog. Boy, let's go to Ecclesiastes right now. You're supposed to treat your beast right. He said, well, Pastor, I didn't know that. I said, but we're going to go to the scriptures on this. Are you talking to your dog like that? I said, no wonder you. He may get the tape. Sometimes no wonder we can have marital problems and all kind of things in our homes when we don't treat our animals or our spouses or our children correctly, right? Well, Mr. T. Now they got a new Mr. T movie out, huh? Mr. T coined an impression in the 1990s, I pity the fool. And it was a very common thing to go around and say, I pity the fool, pity the fool. God says you're not supposed to say that. You say, well, I've grown past that. You ever repented of that? Nah. Jesus taught that men should have just and lawful causes to be angry, and even then, they ought to keep their temper under strict control. The fruit of the Spirit is temperance or self-control. And I've learned over the years to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, because some things need to be corrected immediately. Some things we wait for the season and sit down with the people that we want to correct, and we just don't move impulsively. Now, some things need to be dealt with immediately. And I've noticed that fruit, after making a lot of mistakes, he who's given much is required. So after making a lot more mistakes, I've noticed that God is changing some fruit in my life, because I'm kind of like, let's parachute in enemy lines, and you need somebody to go in there and take out the big guns, and all we got is pistols, I volunteer. If I don't come back, don't worry about it. I go to heaven. All right, so that attitude will make you... Okay, so you got to be, you know. And some of us get that religious word in us, you know. I'm going to talk about how anger, religious spirit, and pride can work together too in a minute. Take over a ministry. Most brothers and sisters, when they are angry, they just lose it. They lose control. They speak evil things. And you know, raka means empty. It means you're referring to somebody as being worthless. Is there anybody worthless in the kingdom? Is there anybody worthless out there? One of the ministers gone to be with the Lord with us, Ted Rush, who came down here 10, 12 years ago, and he passed away maybe 7 years ago now. He used to do an illustration in our ministry where he would, you know, bring in like a prostitute and he would just talk about how we are to give our lives to the streets and to the people out there that are lost. And you know, just done a lot of good things to teach us things. And I'm a street preacher, even though we tend to travel more now. But we still have a lot of street work, and we want to do the street work. So when a Christian speaks these type of insulting words to their brethren, I'm talking about to the brethren, because that's where the little short things go. I'm going to talk about it here, too. I'm talking about it at church in Beaumont, Texas. They're meeting right now. When they speak directly or indirectly, calling people idiots in their thoughts. Someone covered that earlier about the birds that go out. Swallows will go out. I tell them swallows in the scripture sometime or a picture of mist. So if you see them flying around your door in a dream. But anyway, you can learn a lot about types and shadows by studying the tabernacles. God says you when you have these type of insults and these type of thoughts and insulting words against your brethren, that you are in danger of hell. We're supposed to love one another. I mean, love one another. And Tom kept stressing that the last couple of days. And I was paying attention to Tom because, you know, I'd be listening to people saying things. I say, well, they're not listening. They ask me a question, but they give me the answer. And Tom kept saying, we got to love them. And I say, well, Tom, you don't even know he's talking to me right now. I've observed many cases of individuals that were sent here or sent to our church in Beaumont, Texas. They were sent by the Lord to receive help, but instead they wanted to be a helper. And if we'll learn like Ish Payne taught us, you'll learn to keep your mouth closed when you draft it. Well, they were loved. They were instructed to submit for a season because many of them do and had wonderful gifts. But they opted out, became angry. I've seen them just run out the door. I seen them run out the door at church in Beaumont. And then they began, those that remained but were bitter, began sowing seeds of confusion and doubt, sometimes lies against the leadership and other believers during the camp meetings or during the meetings at our local church. That is the norm for an angry person. It is easy for the enemy to use angry people to make leadership appear controlling, because who else is going to tell them not to do it? But the mature saints recognize the plans of the enemy, and they ignore this attempted mutiny. Simply put, anger is sin. It needs to be dealt with no differently than any other sin. Many believers deal with something called selfish anger. Selfish anger is self-centered and is the result of not getting our way. Yeah, excuse me. We just go as far as we can, but just mess it. I'll teach it again in July if we don't get there. Got to make sure. How many boys in here over 10 years of age? Raise your hands. Boys, 10 to 15. Excuse me. Okay. All right. I had a wonderful fellowship with a young boy yesterday. As far as I'm concerned, he is the apple of God's eye. He is a jewel. And we had such a wonderful short conversation because his legal guardian, of whom I don't know who, mother, son, whoever, was instructing this young man to go to service. And he said, I'm not. I will not. I don't have to go. And he went. And I was so touched. So when I went up to service at 1:30, some up there after service, I came out and said, I need to love you. I said, you honored me. I saw scripture. And I pointed out to the scripture of the father with the sons. And one said, I'll go, but didn't. And the other said, I'm not, but I did. And I just told him how I loved him. And I said, "You, this will be with you the rest of your life. You're a man after God's own heart." He looked at me and he smiled. He's going to have to learn how to manage his anger. But he got encouragement because God placed me in a place where I overheard it. Oh. So we need to encourage people. You need to encourage people that make you angry. Because God made a place in there to take you off the parade. I've seen selfish anger manifest as religious control many times. I know many of you have also. The big three. The religious spirit teams up with pride and the spirit of anger. Together these spirits work in the individual will attempt a coup, try to control a Christian meeting or function in some way. They may be given or allotted a certain time for a brief testimony before the introduction of the speaker, and they'll take this time, they'll press their comments, their testimonies, they'll press their point at that moment. It could be anything from tabernacle, end time, food laws, my ministry, the book I wrote. They're going to press something. They're going to press something from a belligerent attitude, making their point, and it is seldom discerned by many in attendance. You see, it appears anointed because we don't have a written program. So since we don't have a written program, their part of the service appears to be permitted. And they can do all this in 3 minutes. Sometimes they'll take 20. They say the Holy Ghost is on them. But those in leadership quickly recognize that that type of individual has overstepped their authority, their boundaries. And if God has given you a message to deliver, don't get angry. Don't get bitter. Get better. He will also provide you the space of time to deliver your message. If you feel so pressed to the point of anger, so far that you are pressed to the point of religious anger, well, you got to hurry and get your part in because you only allotted 15 minutes and Brother Landry got an hour. In that case, then you might prayerfully consider you in the flesh. And you might need deliverance. You may need to submit to deliverance. Anger is a learned habit. Excuse me. I have some water over there, son. Thank you. Anger is a learned habit. Thank you, young fellow. Anger can be controlled by your will. There are many professional and non-professional athletes that have learned how to manage their anger on the field. It can be sweet as a lamb off the field. Those that have learned how to manage it on the field normally make it to the top. Because they got to get out there, you got to fight like you're going to die the next moment. I have some friends that play pro football. They don't even want to talk about it. Because on the field, they're talking about mamas and daddies across the line from each other. They're trying to take the strength out of the person they oppose. We don't hear a lot of that unless somebody spit on somebody on national TV. Lord, thank you that he forgave him and that he repented publicly. But it does happen. You got the spitting viper. I think I taught about that a few years ago during the youth camp about that spitting demon. Many men go to work. Uh-oh. They put up with their boss. They put up with all the cursing that's going on at the job. Now, by the way, I've worked in the industry. I didn't quit my job because of all the stuff people was doing. I worked. I had all kind of prophecies. The Lord is calling you out. The Lord is sending you to the nations, friends and stuff. I'm retired. They still working. Because I hang in there, I had a plan. In 17 years, if things work out, I'm going to retire. When I got to that point, I said, Lord, we can't make it on this. And my son called me. He said, Dad, you ever heard about self-directed IRAs and real estate? I said, no. And he began to explain it to me.
And I said, oh, I can take this little bit and turn it into 5 times what I got. He said, yeah, you can do that. I said, they won't teach us that. Well, I'm working that because when you retire, they want you to put it with the EFL. I was able to retire because I listened to my son.
So, on the job, we get along with Joe, smoking Joe. Hey, man, that's nothing wrong with smoking. No disrespect, honey. We all got some issues we're dealing with, right? We're all here because we ain't here for to get delivered. But I'm trying to make an illustration for all the young people, everybody to catch the point. So, because I know there's probably got some smokers here that want to get free, and that's okay. But I need to use the illustration, if you don't mind. And if you do mind, then get stop smoking. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. So, remember, it's only with a parade where you're on show is where you come under the parade. Anyway, so you get along with everybody on your balls, all the cussers and smoking Joe. You get along with whole Munger Bill. You get along with Lying Dave. You even be friendly with Sweet Steve. All this is in the course of a work day or work week. But when you return home to that loving wife, that ain't gonna have no problem controlling, that you control at work, you let it go at home. Duh! Anger is a managed emotion. You can manage it. You can control it in the Lord. The point being, the anger can be controlled by the will. The job may send you to anger management, but that demon gonna try to take your soul. You can't just cop out and go to anger management. I went to anger management. What meds you on? Romans, the 6th chapter, we have a command by Scripture. In Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 6, the Bible says, the Word of God says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. We should not serve sin, Satan, demons, self. We should serve Him, Jesus. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead died no more. Death had no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon Jim also yourselves, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign. And anger likes to reign. It's a monster. It's a gorilla in your mortal body that you should obey it in the lust thereof. God's words teaches us not to live in sin. And unrighteous anger is sin. And I'm speaking to everybody. And the young people know because they go to school. They see how people just go off. They know what kind of society we're living in. And so I know they are very blessed that God is reaching them with something that they can apply in their own lives also today. Anger is rooted in the old nature, the flesh. And the Bible says the flesh is an enemy of God. It's more written about the enemy of God, the flesh, and how it can't be just thrown out. It has to be crucified. We think dealing with demons is a challenge. The Bible says the old man is an enemy. Try to cast him out of Jesus' name, see what happens. Okay. Chances are, if your anger manifestations cannot be crucified in Christ, then it's probably demonic. You just don't have any control. You're out of control. You need help. Well, help is on the way. That's why God has you here. That's why God has saved you. That's why God has you wherever you are. Because He has his light upon your situation right now. He wants to give you deliverance. Our flesh must be ministered to by fasting, denying self, cross-bearing, denying ourselves daily, crucifying our old nature, our will. And last but not least, we must also follow Jesus. Because all of these can be practiced by Hindus, Buddhists, and et cetera, et cetera. All of them can do that. The remedy for demonic oppression, for anger management, is to expel them. When it gets to the point, or if it's at the point where you've done everything you know to do, fasting, prayer, deny self, crucifying flesh, going for counseling, seeking counsel, prayer, confessing your faults one to another, and the list goes on, and you get to a point where you know, I'm just not getting the victory, then you need to maybe say, an ounce of is better than a pound of cure later. An ounce of provision is better than a pound of cure later. So that means you may want to submit yourselves, which is a very hard thing to do when you got all these stars up there. You know, you was on nothing, and now you're a king's kid. You got these stripes up there. You don't want to submit to no sergeant. Get prayed for. You see, I go out there, and I try to get the ones that's just starting everything. I put them in a line, like, I'll put you in a fine line. It's the only way, how else you going to get promoted? Okay. But you're not going to get any deliverance if you're at peace with your enemy. Because I warn you, your enemy is not at peace with you. You're not going to be able to cast out your friends. If they ain't going to make you feel good because they send you to the Dr. Pepper and get you that cigar, that's the only thing going to be to get you to the Dr. Pepper. So the devil will keep you mad so you can get your Dr. Pepper. It's like me when God delivered me from alcohol, I was drinking enough soda water, I was getting the same amount of sugar. Now you and I, as born again Christians, regenerated, we should not have anger having dominion over our lives. So do you resist anger when it visits? Because it's coming. We've heard all weekend, trouble is coming. Trouble going to find you. Do you accept God's way? Or do you give in and handle it your way? I have to admit, I can't remember when, but I do remember in some time in my past where it just the walls came up. Now, I can use all of the excuses right now. I know the list. I can tell you dysfunctional families and all these other things, but I got to a point where now it's between me and my God. At some point, you got to get to where, okay, God, I'm taking responsibility. And when you look at it like that, he might point something out because now you ain't pointing no more. You pointing at you. The disciples all sitting down there, and Jesus said, well, one of y'all going to betray me. They all saying, is it I? Today, when church, we got everybody saying, it's you. Trying to get you promoted, whatever it takes. Man's way is to blow up. And that's another thing. That little young fella's not here, and his family's gone. He didn't blow up. He was very articulate. I'm not going to do this. I am not going to that class. Why should I have to go to that class? And he went to the class. Managed his anger. Woo! He just blessed me, that young boy. I will take his testimony around the world. Man's way is to vent off on others. Or they even vent off on themselves. Then they go take some dope. They say, well, mine is prescription. Duh. Man's way is to strike out at people. Strike out at things. Strike out his wife. Boy, I'm just sound like I'm just really on the men today. Huh? Well, man, woman is all the same in God's eyes. Come on now, people. But man's way is to strike out at his wife, strike out at his children, strike out at his automobile that gives him a lot of problems because it needs a lot of work. Or he might just have an attitude where he kicks the cat. That's why some dogs don't want to come around nobody. The man didn't kick them so many times. There's a little test you can do sometime. And the counselors use it in schools when they're working with children having problems, stuff like that. They'll put their hands like that. That child duck like that. They know they got some abuse problems probably. Some of them, sometimes they're wrong though. Because I was ducking too because I just had fear. I don't remember my dad or nothing like that ever hurt me like that. He could talk to you. My mother put that whoop on you though. But she loved you too. So mine was rooted in fear and rejection. So you can miss it. Because sometimes you do that to me, I might duck. I know that over the years I've gotten better with that. And then I'm like Don, we was all ex-martial art experts. Satan worshipers, and then God set us free. Amen. Amen. Whew. But man's way may even be to clam up. All right, husbands and wives, I'm speaking of man and woman, clamming up. Pretend nothing is wrong outwardly. And that can be very dangerous because there are a lot of psychosomatic illnesses such as ulcers and colitis and many other hypertensions. And different other problems are a result of suppressed anger, fear, anxiety, and stress that is held within. We need to get it out. We need to talk. I think God has given the various offices and gifts to the church. I think we should use them. So, well, I can't find a ministry in our city. Where are you going? How many people over there? 960. Well, you said that number 888. We need to find a place where we can sit down and become friends. Have a relationship with your pal. You say, well, that's too small. You know, I sell Amway. Time we be looking in the wrong places. So you don't want to get close to nobody. You better take number 887 back there. Nobody can work on you. That's another message. Let me get away from that. Some people handle the anger demons like a crock pot. Got that thing slow cooking all night long, steady burning until they explode. I'm not saying Mr. T, but I pity the person. that they let go on. And we've seen a lot of crockpot situations around our nation and around the world. Mass murders at malls, mass murders at schools, government offices. And here recently in Texas, a man flew a plane into an office building. He's just mad. I've seen a lot of people stomp out of here, too, because they wanted to get their way. It even happened at the church. Well, God looks at that murderous and killer mentality no differently than the man that flew the airplane into the office to kill that lady. You're held to a higher standard because this is the only standard we live by, the holy word of God. So you think you just get away with it? If you just stomp on out of there, you big and bad, you so big. And then I'm praying for you right now for your anger, and then 20 years from now, I'm praying for your high blood pressure. Duh! God's way should be the way of the believer. Proverbs, the 29th chapter, verse 11. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified. The Bible says, a fool always loses his temper. Always. Let God's word be true. But a wise man holds it back and steals it. So God's way is to hold it back. Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, verse 9. I'm going to read from the Amplified. Do not be quick in spirit to be angry or vexed, for anger and vexation lodge in the bosom of fools. Instead of anger and vexation taking up residence in us, lodging in our spiritual house, we should be denying self, dying daily, fasting daily, bearing our cross, crucifying our flesh, and most importantly, we should be following our great high priest, Lord Jesus Christ's example. That's not happening if you have an anger problem. Now, you can take anger management classes. Hey, I went there too. Oh, I went to AAA. If people would just be... But they're not going to be able to help your spiritual conditions. Medications and worldly counsel will not heal your anger. Only your total surrender to God, sincere repentance, can set you in the right path for freedom from anger. God says in Proverbs, the 29th chapter, verse 22, I'm going to read from the Amplified. A man's wrath stirs up strife, and a man given to anger commits and causes much transgression. Transgression against God means deliberate disobedience to the known will of God. Deliberate. This happens when you willfully refuse to deal with your anger. You willfully refuse deliverance after the Lord and the Lord's ministers have tried to help you deal with your anger. You reject. You become a transgressor. Wow. Dangerous, dangerous stuff. God's way is for you not even to associate with a man given to anger. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter, verse 24. I'm reading from the Amplified again. Make no friendships with a man given to anger. And with a wrathful man, do not even associate, lest you learn his ways and get yourself into a snare. And young people, you have to particularly guard yourself because you have to deal with sometimes young men and women at your schools that are bullies. And they have issues because they do not know Jesus like you know Jesus. And so they have a problem and they express themselves by anger and temper and not having the ability to manage their behaviors. Individuals with hot tempers may have inherited them from their parents, but some is by past or present associates. Each of us should go into our family bloodline, on both sides of the family bloodline, and should cast out the last name. In my case, it would be the Landry temper or the Simeon temper. All right? And so you should come against that, all right, because I would like the family to say, I am just like my dad or my mom or my granddad, and mention those things that were godly and good and kind and gentle. And it's good every once in a while when somebody will say, well, he's nothing like his dad was. And they don't mean it in insult. They just come out quick out of the fruit of their lips. They don't mean it insultingly. They just say, Jim is saved. Good way they're saying it. Okay. In Mark, the 3rd chapter, Caleb, you and the young fellows, I want y'all to get this tape, okay? Because y'all going to have to help other people when y'all get older. And you'll get into, you young ladies back there, y'all get up into the 21, 22, You got work to do, yes. You got your careers and school and your jobs and all the things y'all going to do. But at some point in time, somebody going to come to y'all, and y'all going to need to have a library of stuff you can be able to refer back to listen to and read so you can help the young people in the 20s and 30s. That don't mean you're going to be a pastor right now, an evangelist, all that. You got your careers and all that. We understand that. But you need to start building up your libraries right now as you growing up. You need to have those things prepared. And don't loan it out without fixing your little car so you know who you loaned it out to. Just write a name down. Loaned out to Brother So-and-so, October 13th, 10 a.m. In Mark, third chapter here, this is a very discouraging week for the Pharisees and the scribes because Jesus had done all kinds of stuff to rain on their parade and ministering to the people the day before and leading up into this particular chapter. So it really, they were very, very disgruntled about Jesus' ministry. And in Mark, the third chapter, verse 1, it said, he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, and whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. See, the devil want to accuse you too. He want to get you fired up. He wants you to lose control. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto him, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about them and with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. So here Jesus, in this passage of Scripture, demonstrates biblical anger and how it requires control. It's right here in the Word. You're born with it. You got it. So he demonstrates. The Scripture alone, this Scripture along with many other New Testament Scripture examples and a lot in the Old Testament, only demonstrates that anger is not necessarily a manifestation of sin or demons. Both God and man will always have it. Without it, man would not be able to capably and effectively wage warfare against sin and demons, rebuking, binding, loosing with spiritual authority. I think of Elder Stone's son in one of our men classes up there. Somebody made a statement, or I might have said one word, and he just went off on it. He was quoting this whole passage right there. I said, oh, Lord. I said, who's that young man? Well, praise the Lord. God is so good. Amen. Both God and man will always have it, as I said. And without man, and without it, without that type of righteous anger, we would have a problem engaging the enemy in combat. Because we need a righteous indignation. We need an attitude against that devil. We must pray to be able to control all faculties in the bounds of the law of God and or seek deliverance when all else that I have discussed with you has failed. An angry person desires vengeance. Oh, yeah. When they falsely accused or they've been criticized and put down because of their Christian faith, them people out there, they want vengeance. Those people out there, they wouldn't receive the gospel. They wouldn't receive baptized in the name. Or they wouldn't receive without trying to tell them the truth. Look at you. Look at you. And so a lot of people get a type of vengeance. But the Lord says that we are to forgive quickly. And that vengeance is His. But many times we want the vengeance. We want retribution right there on the spot. Husband, wives, ministry, leadership, or wherever on our job, we want to deal with the issue ourselves instead of giving it to God. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 26 and verse 27 in the Amplified, when the Bible says, Ephesians 4:26, when angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your fury, or indignation last until the sun goes down. We've heard that a number of times this weekend. Jerry, particularly, I remember sharing about that. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Do not give an opportunity to the devil. You blow it, repent. If it happened publicly, repent publicly. All right, we have too many people that happened to the young fella here. What's your name? I'm sorry, son.
Cordell.
And it happened to me and Cordell get into it, but I want to go before the church and tell everybody what I did, Cordell. I want you to pacify me so when I go off on you, you can be a little easy. Now, if I did it in front of you, I got to publicly do it before you. We all got this thing. Well, you know, we got to deal with this thing now. We got to deal with it appropriately. Do not allow anger to fuel or get a foothold in your lives. You are required to forgive quickly. Anger is a work of the flesh, and if not properly dealt with, will lead to demonization. You will become demonized. In Galatians, the fifth chapter, as we look at the, I think it's 17 works of the flesh, in verse 20, in that passage of Scripture, we see anger or we see wrath. I'm going to read the fifth chapter, verse 20. It says, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, anger, strife, seditions, heresies. In other words, within these passages of Scripture and many others in this chapter, we see that the works of the flesh, if not brought in subjection, and the old man is not appropriately crucified and remains dead, that any one of these works could at any time develop into demonization, or the demons could already have been there. Anger is having my own way, which is idolatry, which is controlling others, which is selfish, which is a type, and is witchcraft. Control is witchcraft. It's all in these passages, in that passage of Scripture. And we're called strife. Anger leads to bitterness. Wrath needs to be put away, the Bible says. And in fact, in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 31, from the King James Version, the Bible says, let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, all evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put away. If you can't say something good, you best be quiet. Now, I have seen situations where I might have crossed the line. I need to go back and hear how God would have me minister to that individual in some correction. And I'll just leave until I feel that the time is right. And I want to approach the situation the way I really feel about it in love. Because that's the way I really feel about it. But sometimes response, reaction make you just go off, right? Okay. So I'm learning how to do that. None of us should want anger to cost our promise, cost our rewards that God has promised us. But we have examples where it did. In Exodus, the second chapter, let us turn there. I'm just going to read a couple of passages of Scripture. Moses should have exercised his God-given righteousness on a couple of occasions, but he didn't, and the cost was great. And all of you know the story, but let me just read a couple of passages from the Exodus, the second chapter, verse 11. It says, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto the brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Moses looked this way, then he looked that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he killed him, the Egyptian, and he hid him in the sand. In this example of Moses killing the Egyptian, this act of Moses doing a fury of anger cost him 40 years in the desert before his ministry began. That was his penalty. Then we go back a few years later in the 20th chapter, and this is around the time that right after his much-loved one that celebrated the deliverance of God's people out of Egypt, his beloved Miriam, his sister, who he loved dearly, and Miriam was a powerful woman of God. She overstepped her ministry when she went beyond just being a sister and questioned Moses about his marriage and all that, which that wasn't even the issue. The only time God showed up when she said, God, speak to me too. And Aaron said, God, speak to me too. And God said, no, I speak to them face to face. So she usurped authority. She went against authority. My brothers and sisters have all the right they want to talk to me about family matters. Even my dad can talk to me about anything, family matters and everything. He tend to counsel, ask me for counsel for ministry, but he's still dad. He's the man. He's my hero. All right, and so she blew it then. But anyway, we've progressed a few chapters down to 20th chapter. Moses might be a little weakened because of, you know, I remember about 5, 6, 7 years ago that my flesh was a little weak. I started developing some issues I started seeing in the flesh that I thought they were inappropriate as a minister. But I remember that my mom died, Sister Dean died, Brother Ted died. I had several friends of mine. I was just weak, and I didn't know. I was weak, and I wasn't fasting and praying like I should. I was just down. I was just seeing too much. My pastor had a stroke. I was just really under attack, and there's certain people I would like to apologize to that I probably would never have the opportunity to do that. But I knew where I was coming from, and I began working on that problem. I'm still working on it today, and I have to report as victory. Victory in Jesus. His word is true. So we get down to, I'm not going to read all the passages of Scripture, but I will take you down to where the Lord spoke in verse 7 of the 20th chapter of Numbers to the Lord, to Moses, saying, take the rod and gather the assembly together. These people need water. And he said, I want you to speak to the rock before their eyes. Now, when he said before their eyes, he was trying to establish authority here, a principle. But anyway, and I'm going to bring forth water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, and thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And so Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, you rebels! Must you fetch water out of this rock? And Moses, speaking out of clamor, and Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me, and this was covered in one of the texts I think Pastor Ken dealt with also earlier, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given thee. Now, let me just kind of cover this second incident a little bit more in detail. In the command of God, once again, Moses could have exercised righteous indignation. He could have obeyed God, did what God told him to do. But instead of it, he lost it. Moses lost it, and God said, speak to the rock. He struck the rock twice. Then he called them a bunch of rebels, which to me is like saying a bunch of fools and idiots. He allowed anger to give the people an impression that God was angry with them. He didn't sanctify the Lord in their presence. This was covered in one of the other texts this weekend. But it wasn't God was angry with them. It was Moses that was angry with them. And many preachers today preach this type of fire and brimstone message, condemning God's people, giving them the same impression that God is angry with you. And I've had a lot of people come for prayer, and they start crying and say, oh me, I'm never going to make it. Oh, God, I know I'm going to fall. I'm backslidden and everything. I said, what Pentecostal group you was in? Because I used to be I was apostolic too. The wrong kind of Pentecostal. You know, I'm not talking about real kind of Pentecost, you know. It had nothing to do with how much hair you got or what kind of bun you got on your head or something. No, I ain't dull, you know. I'm just kind of saying, you know, I've been there, and I have a love for all of them. You know, I was Pentecostal, I was Methodist, I was Baptist, I was in Islam. What else I was? Something. I was something else. Anyway, Catholic, yeah. And so I have a real heart for it and a compassion God's given me. Our church can turn into an anti-traditional church. We'd be all through the city. Somebody, come out of here. All right. Why would they? We tell them to come out, but not insultingly. Okay. So I'm careful how I give it to them. We just want to give them the word. Word draw on his own. Man, a couple of words. Jesus wept. Oh, people start weeping. Try to see what happens. Say, man, nobody don't love me. Jesus wept for you. Bring a man to his knees. Okay, I'm going somewhere else now. Well, in the first example, of course, Moses killing the Egyptian. That cost him 40 years in the desert and before his ministry began. This temper tantrum caused him not to even enter in the promised land. So what can your temper tantrums cost you? Well, I can tell you this much. I got some good news for you. You can repent. You can admit you got the problem, all right? So how do you handle your anger when you're dealing with situations? Are you proactive or reactive? Are you not dealing with it to the point where something just happened and you become reactive? You need to be conscious of the fact that you got this old nature here, and you need to understand that anger is there, is in us, and it's manageable, and you can deal with it. Some of us just ignore that because we're religious. Oh, hell to me, I got the Holy Ghost. I just told you the scripture. Jesus looked around in anger. You better than Jesus? You need to be aware of your anger. You need to acknowledge it. You need to confess it. You need to ask God's help. You need to pray for those that attack you. Attack the problem, not the person. Whoa, 15 minutes. We're not going to get there today. God wants us to die to anger. to, because until something dies, there's no life can come out of it. Matthew, the 15th chapter, verse 18 and 19. Anger manifested inside you needs to be dealt with in your own heart, not in the hearts of those that are that's causing you to become angry or angry. You have to put off the old man. You have to put on the new man. You have to learn how to act, be proactive, and don't react and overreact. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And so, my father, who I love dearly, I need to minister to him too, because he was having some issues this past week, is one of the most soft-spoken men I ever know. If he calls, he says, it's your daddy. Where you been? I talk like my mom. Hey, what's up? My mom was a singer and strong, and I buried her May the 23rd, 4 years ago. And I was her pastor. And so I've taken on a lot of her characteristics as far as voice. And so the Bible says that, and I know that I covered this scripture earlier in Ephesians 4:29, that we ought to let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it might minister grace unto the hearers. You need to build up persons that habitually react, cause you to react against them. So if you got somebody that kind of calls your parade to feel like it's going to get rained out, you got to build them up, offer them lunch, because all of us have worked around or been around people ministers and say, I just don't think he liked me. So you have to keep on pressing to him, trying to show him love. Don't overdo it, because actually God is dealing with an issue in your life. All right, you need to pray for your company bosses, pray for your spouses, pray for each other. Pray for your Christian brothers and sisters that attack you. Be proactive. Be crucified through Christ Jesus. And not reactive in the old man when trouble comes. Because what? Trouble is coming. We are commanded to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving towards those we tend to be bitter against. But it's a choice. Anger is justified in many Christians because they know what they were doing when the time the incident took place was justified. During the confrontation, they knew, I'm not going to say anything. I was right. And they were wrong. But their attitude is very selfish. It comes out of this me, myself, and I syndrome. After all, they think, I have a right to be angry. You heard what he said to me. But Jesus said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So do you give thanks when somebody attack you? Thank you, Jesus! Well, Lord, if that's what you are allowing in my life in order to reveal an idol in my heart, and this is going to cleanse my spiritual God, bring it on! Until they keep stabbing and stabbing and I stop getting hit. You know, when they came to Jesus, they found nothing in him. The devils came to Jesus. Couple of passages of scripture before I finish. In 1 Peter, the second chapter of 1 Peter, verse 21, the scripture read, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was gall, and gall means bitterness and anger and wrath, found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Jesus' mouth spoke righteousness. He is our example. In John, the very first chapter of the Gospel according to John, let me show you the position of the church. Lord, just gave me that. I hope I got the right scripture. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I don't have to write the line there. 1 John 1:44. The Bible says, now Philip of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, Philip, he findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, "Can not any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said unto him, "Come and see. Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in him or in whom is no God." Jesus found this Israelite who was godless. Nathanael was not an angry speaking man. If he was, Jesus would have said that. It's like he would have said to the rich young man that when he said all these things I did, he would have corrected him. Jesus said this, so there is hope for us. There's hope for you and I that we can be delivered like this Israelite was delivered. God says when a man's way pleased the Lord, he make it even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now some of us need some enemies to come at us so we get his anger out, get it manageable. Father, I put the enemy on notice. I'm attacking him from my position in Christ Jesus, which is high above Satan's world, rulers, dominions, all of his thrones, angelic hosts, from my position in Christ Jesus. And I take authority over the strong man of anger and bind him in the name of Jesus. You have no authority. Your authority was stripped from you. And as I come against you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you're going to come out of the people of God. You're going to go where Jesus tells you to go. I break over you all of the ancestral curses that brought anger down through the sins of the forefathers. I break it, 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 I break it in Jesus' name. All of the anger curses. I break it, I break it, I break it, all the multiples of anger. I break it, 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 I break it in Jesus' name. All of the direct curses. And you'll be angry. You're just like your daddy. Just like your mama. I break it, 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 I break it. All of the indirect curses that came. Well, he's just like his grandmama. Don't let him go outside and play. Indirect. I break it, 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 I break it. All indirect. All separate. I can't help it. I got a bad temper. I break it, 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 I break it. I break all those anger curses over your life. I break all curses of living and non-living entities. I break the curse of negotiation. I break the curse of compromise. I break it, 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 I break it in Jesus' name. I break those curses in Jesus' name over your life. Now I break the satanic seals that seal those demons in. Unrighteous anger. I break it, I break it, I break it. All satanic seals. Satanic protective shields. I break it, 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 I break it in Jesus' name. All the satanic prayers, psychic prayers. Incidentally, I think it's in the month of, I may be mistaken on this, so I'm not going to give you the month. It's somewhere in the spring where the Roman Catholic Church pray for all of us who backslid. And sometimes you have a little depression, you get a little angry. You know? But they angry as you, because you left. That's money, man. You know? But anyway, I break those satanic prayers. I break it, 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 I break it. I break those satanic prayers over your life. Cause you feel a little, I don't know why I've been angry all the time in May or whatever it is. I break it, 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 I break it in Jesus' name. I break all ties of the evil past. All ties in living in any non-living entities. I command all those spirits of anger. You will come out and come up in Jesus' name. You're going to go when I tell you to go. You're going to go where Jesus tells you to go. I command all the spirits of anger and belittling spirit. You go in Jesus' name. I cast out affliction. I cast out that of aggressive behavior. You go. I cast out anger, hot anger, seething anger, destructive anger. Go in Jesus' name. I command spirits of anger at God, anger at your relatives, anger at your spouses. You go in Jesus. Angry at your boss. I'm just angry unto death. Spirit of anguish. You go in Jesus' name. Spirits of annoying. This person just gets under my collar. Annoying. You go in Jesus' name. Come out, all anti-agape spirits, you go in Jesus' name. Anxiety, you go. Argumentative, that was one that really was bad. I'm working, Jesus is still working on me. Argumentative spirit, you go in Jesus' name. Backtalk, backbiting. Very common thing, a dysfunctional family, husband, wife, divorce. Even though the families got back together, I still was born in that type of arena. So backtalk, backbiting was common. Go in Jesus' name. Come out, belligerent spirits, bellicose spirits, you go. Bitterness. Bitterness in the soul, biting, bluntness, bold stubbornness, all brutal spirits, come out of the people of God. I command you to go. Who are you to resist the name of Jesus? You have no authority. I command you to be gone, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. I command those spirits of childish mad, temper tantrums, childhood destruction, being combative, having my way, complaining. Come out, you go in Jesus' name. Contentious, come out, contesting, come out, cruelty, cursing demon. Oh, the hell to turn blue. Cursing. Filthy communication. Come out of there. All that blasphemy cursing. Come out of there. Come out of there. I wish I was dead. Anger, get mad to death. Go in Jesus' name. Death wish. Come out. Come out. All deceit. All guile spirits. Go in Jesus' name. Come out. All disgusted. Fear and fighting and frowning and hating. Hateful authority and hitting and hostility and ill will. Hot temper. Impetuous. Inability to give or receive love. indignation, incensed. I'm just mad, jealous, envy. You go in Jesus' name. And some of you, when you finish this lesson later on in the week or next week, you go over it again or go over another lesson, go after more spirits. Go, I'm mad. Madness spirits, you go in Jesus' name. Murder, pouting. Pouting. Boy, that's a good one. I got to take a minute. I'm trying to finish up at 12. I got to take that one. I had one of my leaders, and he and his wife sit down there, and, you know, just I'm teaching to them over the years. I looked over there, and, God, we got a big one here. So I've never really seen it manifest when somebody just like a child or somebody got upset. Just demon came up, I said, oh, my goodness. So I said, well, I better get delivered. Can't cast out Satan. Yeah, we tend to mask our feelings, you know. I'm working on that. Oh, Jesus is working on that. All right. Quarrelsome spirits, you go in Jesus' name. Rage, rebellion, resentment, retaliation, sassy. Come out, sassy. That was in me on my mother's side. Sassy spirits. There's a lot of good things I got, too. Don't get me wrong. We ain't covering that today, though. Come out, sassy spirits. You go in Jesus' name. You go. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out, short temper, fiery temper, hot temper, and then all of the headache spirits that go along with it. Migraine, piercing head, throbbing headaches, all those headache spirits that go with control, witchcraft, anger, I'm mad, go in Jesus' name. Spirits of unforgiveness, come out of there, unbridled tongue, being ugly, come out in Jesus' name. I command all of these spirits and all of those that God has placed on the hearts of the believers here, those that are listening to the tape, all of the additional spirits that the Holy Spirit brings to their mind, we command them, go in Jesus' name. I cast out anger, the ruler of anger, the controller ruler of anger, and all supervisory spirits of anger in Jesus' name. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray to bind up all the spirits of anger that we've commanded out today. And those that have not left, I command them to continue leaving until all of them have gone. I ask you, Lord, to fill up all the vacancies and the voids in the mind and body where the evil spirits have left with the presence of the Holy Spirit and continue to do so until all of these anger spirits have left and any other spirits that you are sending out, Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to pour your healing power down over all areas of our minds, bodies that have been ravaged, tormented, and harmed and wounded in any way and cleanse and heal these areas with your precious blood. I ask you, Lord, to assign as many of your ministering angels as needed to protect this group and all those that will be listening to the tape or the video until all of the deliverance, healing, and filling of the Holy Spirit is completed. Lord, I ask you to give every person that's prayed for that willingly submitted to deliverance, I pray for the healing and filling of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, restoration and renewal, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, you know every need. You know every trap that the enemy will try to attack each person with, make them keenly aware, Lord God, each time the enemy tries to regain access, so that each person will be able to stop that enemy before he gets a foothold. So, Lord, we now give you all glory for which has been accomplished here today. We thank you, Lord God. We're going to trust you, Lord God, and we give you glory and praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord God. We speak healing, speak miracles, cast out the spirits of infirmity associated with anger, sinus infections, sinus problems, headaches, neck problems, shoulders problems, burdens that we've not been called to bear. Just the list goes on and on. But the main thing is that we are going to have righteous indignation. We have enough examples that we will follow Jesus. So, Lord God, I bless the congregation of the Lord. Bless the food that we're about to receive. Thank you for the staff. Thank you for this wonderful place and our pastor, Brother Glenn Miller, whom I love dearly. I bless the congregation. May you have a wonderful camp meeting. I'll be leaving in a few. I'm just telling you that. I'm not trying to get any accolades. I love y'all. This is my home. I have to return. May God bless you. Let's enjoy our lunch. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God bless you. God bless. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.